Corea.
Correa, yes sir.
Correa.
By Carlos Correa.
Can I get a
podcast? Welcome everybody to Can I Get a Podcast? He's Jeffrey Cooperstein.
What's up?
I'm Chris Gross. Hello, Jeffrey. How's your week been?
I had a fever for the last couple days, so that's great.
You are feeling better, right? Like you're not up here sick?
Yeah, no, I'm good. Okay. I won't get any of you guys sick.
So we've got a special episode of Can I Get a Podcast today. We're talking esports, and we thought, you know, it wouldn't be a good episode if it was just you and I talking esports.
It wouldn't. We brought in the resident esports expert.
And he is the host of Free to Play. You can hear that on KESN1033.com/podcast. His name is Kevin Correa.
What's
Kevin.
What's popping, folks?
Also known as Kevin Correa Soto.
Don't throw my full name out there,
also
man.
Also known as Timothy Zane.
That's right.
We'll get into that later in the podcast. But we brought Kevin on. He's the host of Free to Play. So just tell us a little bit about the Free to Play podcast.
Free to Play is just a podcast focused on esports. I'll talk about, you know, international, national, local events, all over DFW Metroplex. And then, I got some interviews lined up. Hopefully we could talk to some esports personalities coming up soon.
Kevin's got some big things in the works, man.
I can't talk about it yet, but at some point soon, I hope to drop it off. It's in the works still, but hopefully soon we can talk about it.
So stay tuned. I would highly recommend listening to the Free to Play podcast. The first episode I listened to were two episodes in, correct, Kevin?
Yes, two episodes in.
I'm not caught up.
I learned so much from just the first episode, like about esports. And speaking of special guests, coming up at the end of the podcast, I talked with Alan Avila. He is the EMLS player for FC Dallas, playing FIFA professionally. We'll hear my interview with him coming up at the end of the podcast. So, Kevin, just talk to us a little bit. What is a general definition of esports? What is it?
Esports is any kind of competitive online gaming or even, you know, just offline gaming. As long as, there's a controller or keyboard and mouse in your hands, you're pretty much a competitive gamer in esports size. You know, play for money. You can play for fun. Really, it's a pretty broad definition of esports. As long as, you know, there's a monitor in your face, controllers in your hand, you're good to go.
What was your, like, introduction into esports?
Oh, man. Oh, so it started back when I was, this is going to be a little bit of a story.
Back in my day.
I was maybe 9 years old when I bought my first online game. It was Star Wars Battlefront 2 for the PS2.
Good one.
Back in the day. And then I thought, you know, I beat that game and I thought there's got to be more to this than just like 2 hours of a campaign.
Yeah.
And then I convinced my dad to hook up an internet connection to my PS2, which was a chore in and of itself, hooked it up, and it opened a whole new world for me. You know, I found out I was really bad at video games. Otherwise, it just kind of ballooned up after that. In high school, I started playing StarCraft 2, and StarCraft 2 just opened that world up even more. I got into MLG game battles. I got into watching, back then it was called Justin TV, the streaming website.
Yeah.
For video games, and it opened this whole new world for me, and I've been hooked. I've been hooked.
When it comes to esports, it's interesting because I feel like it's really taken off here in the past couple years. I feel like it's really started to balloon as an industry, and you can correct me if I'm wrong because you've been way more into it than I have, but it seems like just the whole broad spectrum of competitive gaming is just really starting to take off.
In the last, like, just from my perspective, in the last 18 months, I think it's improved, it's increased tenfold.
Yeah.
You've seen so much more interest in esports than you ever have before.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And that's because, you know, it's been a gradual build. I don't know if you guys remember G4 TV back
yes.
in the day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They used to actually air, you know, old Call of Duty competitions on cable TV. You could watch it. And then, you know, it just kind of gradually built up after that, and it just became more and more mainstream, more people playing games, more people doing things. And it's just now that mainstream advertisers are finally getting into it, you know, Coca-Cola, Verizon, all these big players in advertising are finally Red Bull, exactly. They're all starting to get into it. And now it's just kind of, you know, like I said, the last 18 months, actually like the last 2 or 3 years, it's finally built up to this platform where people are welcome. They're coming in like crazy.
It's interesting because the way I always explain it is, and it is kind of weird on its face, where it's like people are going somewhere. It used to be online, and we'll talk about like the venues that are being built now, but it was like people were going online to watch other people play video games. And especially for people older than, you know, a certain age, it was like, why would you want to do that?
Right.
Why is that interesting? But to me, it's like watching sports where you like baseball or you like football. You're not good enough to do it professionally, but you love the sport and you want to watch other people play. To me, it's the same thing.
That's the exact analogy that I always use. It just makes so much sense to me.
Yeah, it's like if you, you know, like one of the big leagues now, like Overwatch League. Like if you like Overwatch, but you're not very good, well, hey, here's a place for you to go to watch the best people in the world play Overwatch.
And I think Overwatch is such, at least to me, it's a complicated game to get used to and be good at.
Exactly.
And watching these pros do it like it's absolutely nothing is just mind-blowing to me.
It's second nature for them. It's just, yeah. It's honestly, it's so impressive seeing that. It's like watching, you know, Odell Beckham Jr. make one-handed catches in the end zone.
It's crazy.
I've not been out to the esports stadium in Arlington. Have you been to a match there?
I haven't been yet, but I've had a few friends go, and the events, I know they had like an Overwatch party for the Overwatch League. I've had a few friends go just on random nights. I know they have like, you know, just Super Smash Brothers tournaments, you know, things like that. They have like theme nights, and for the most part, it seems like it's a really well put together stadium.
Now it's the old Arlington Convention Center, right?
Yeah.
Yes. So they just kind of refurbished it,
remodeled it. They outfitted it with like a bunch of professional gaming stuff, like a bunch of computers, great internet connection, you know, all that kind of stuff that you need. And well, I think it seats five or six thousand. Yeah. So I mean, it's a big venue.
It's a pretty big venue, and plus, you know, even on off days when they're not having events, you can always go in, and they have PCs set up for just, you know, walk-ins.
Yeah, you can just casually play or whatever, play with your friends, and it also is right across the street from Texas Live if you want to spend the whole day out there, you can easily.
That's interesting. I did not know that. So listening to your podcast, you go through big plays of the plays of the week.
Yes.
So where are some of the places that like these tournaments are being streamed, or where do you find it? Is it all on Twitch?
For me, it's mostly on Twitch. Some competitions will have their own streaming website they'll use. Yeah. Others will probably... I know TBS actually airs some CSGO tournaments, Counter-Strike Global Offensive, and it's just, mostly I pay attention to Twitter, and if I see something pop up on Twitter like, oh my gosh, that play was insane, I'll go to the Twitch stream, find the clip, find the VOD, and I'm like, that's the one. I gotta put that in the podcast.
So let me, you're a League of Legends guy, right?
Yeah, mostly, yeah.
Okay, so my game of choice is Destiny.
Okay.
And when Destiny 2 came out last year, they made a switch where I don't know how it's described for other games, but the PvP, the player versus player, is how it's described for the Destiny community. That's when you go in and you fight other Guardians. It's not the campaign or the story mode or anything, the PvP. In Destiny 1, it was 3v3.
Right.
Was how you would do things. Well, when you made the switch over, they really started going heavy on the 4v4.
Okay.
And from what I understood, this was the switch made to try and make Destiny 2 a game that was getting into esports, that you could put into the competitive market. So what to you, and I'm interested in your thoughts on this too, Jeffrey, what makes a game esports compatible?
Interesting. So, you know, the best analogy I can think of is in tennis and in golf, those are competitive competitions, but they're mostly solo, right?
Yeah.
So in StarCraft 2, for example, and a few other RTSs, a few other RTSs, they also have, you know, the 1v1 component, which is, you know, like a chess match.
Right.
Pretty much play one person against another. You know, a lot of us aren't really into that kind of gameplay. You know, we watch basketball 5-on-5, watch baseball 9-on-9, football, you know, is 11-on-11,
yes.
Think? 11-on-11. I'm not really well versed in football right now at this point, but if it somehow like lines up with that kind of mentality of squatting up with people, it becomes more esports compatible. League of Legends is 5-on-5. Overwatch is 6-on-6. I've been playing Apex. That's 3 versus, you know, 60 other people pretty much. And that's, if you can find a niche for people who like want to squat up and play with each other, That's yeah. that's having esports ready game. Right
that's there. Exactly what I was going to say. I think any game is esports compatible. If you can play it pretty much with people, it's esports compatible. If you can get a couple buddies together on a Friday night, you can play a game for 6 hours. I would consider that esports compatible.
100%.
I think literally any game that's out on the market, you know, besides those obvious like arcade games and whatnot. But right. I think that pretty much every game you can say is esports compatible.
But what's interesting to me is that you see some games that have taken off. Like the Overwatch League, I mean, it's insane. You have... It's representing different cities. You've got this league, and it's huge. Whereas, hey, you know, I think Destiny has great PvP. But for whatever reason, and I get it's different. I don't know a whole lot about Overwatch. You can tell me.
Right.
But there's a lot in Destiny that, you know, you get guns through doing quests. You can get it from the PvP, the PvE aspect. And it creates what some would consider an imbalance. But to me, everyone has the same access to these weapons. And so, to me, I'm just wondering, why is it that some games are so much, can take off so much that people would rather watch? Like, I mean, hey, Fortnite is crazy. In the Twitch directory, Fortnite is insane. League of Legends is always insane. And I'm just, from you as a League of Legends guy, why is that the game that is drawing you to it?
Well, for me, it's because everybody starts back at zero, right?
Yeah.
In every single game, Fortnite, you start at zero. Apex, you start at zero. Overwatch, you start at zero. You build up your champion, your character, whatever. You get to that mid game, that late game, and you know the abilities are always simplistic. They're always there, and you can learn any champion's abilities. You don't have to go out and collect guns or anything like that. That might be more of a more attractive option for players because they don't have to worry about grinding too much.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. League is like you pretty much. You drop in and you pretty much just go, right?
Mm-hmm, you go.
And I'm not, like, I won't say that I'm an expert in League by any means, but the way I look at it, I think League takes, like, more skill than about just about any game there is.
I wouldn't say it takes more skill. It might take more skill. I'm not sure exactly, but it's
maybe
it's,
I just
it's
suck
a,
at
it's
it.
It's a technical game for sure because there's certain things, once you get to a high enough level, you know, there's certain things where your technique comes into play and it comes under scrutiny a lot.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you'll end up falling out of, you know, the top tier of players in the league.
He's Jeffrey Cooperstein. I'm Chris Gross. This is Can I Get a Podcast? We're talking esports here with Kevin Correa. He's the host of the Free to Play podcast, and you can hear that on KESN1033.com.
Real quick, I just wanted to talk about that Overwatch League. Kevin and I were talking about this before the show started. So the Dallas Fuel is Dallas's Overwatch team.
Yeah.
But they live and train in L.A.
Yes. Dallas Fuel built a training facility in L.A. to mimic the exact L.A. stage, and they pretty much just walk over to the arena to play.
So they're the Dallas Fuel, but they don't live or train in Dallas. They're just based at Envy Gaming, right?
Yes.
Which I believe is, like, in this building.
They're up the street somewhere. They're not in the building, but they're around.
They're close,
They're close by.
Because I know they're on Olive Street, so.
So that's because you don't have... In the Overwatch League, like, you don't have regular home matches, correct?
No.
You go to different arenas around the country.
Right. Well, that's the first thing they're doing this year.
Okay.
They're having a homestand series this year. Dallas will actually host the first homestand series in April 27th, 28th, at the Allen Event Center. And that'll be the first time we'll have visiting and away teams.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a new concept that Overwatch League is trying out. And, you know, we have, it's going to be Dallas, I think Atlanta, and I think they go to San Diego at some point.
Okay.
But three different cities will be chosen, and they'll host, you know, a series of games for the weekend, you know, once a month, I believe.
Might have to go check that out.
I know, that sounds super interesting. It's funny because I didn't know that, and, like, the thing to me that takes Overwatch League to another level is, obviously, it's a very popular game, but you've also got, like, they will... You know, they've got merchandise. I've seen people in the Dallas Fuel
like
merchandise.
Jerseys and stuff? Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But it's funny because, like, they don't live here.
Yeah.
Like they have I did not know that.
Like,
I think
these guys have no like, attachment to Dallas.
Like they, I don't know if they've been here in, like, a few months.
Yeah,
honestly.
I mean,
they've been training in L.A. for, like,
that's
the last
weird.
3 or 4 months.
Like, you can be from Dallas and root for Dallas, but they're not really Dallas.
I'm interested in what esports is going to be like in, like, 50 years because saw either last year or a couple years ago... The NBA 2K League had a draft, and it's the merging and the comparisons to professional sports and esports is getting really, it's getting really close.
Yep.
It's intertwining. And what's interesting to me too is it doesn't fully take that cross into esports, but professional athletes love playing video games.
Oh, they do.
Okay. And as far as the 2K League goes,
yeah,
they tried to make that as realistic of a basketball like league as
right.
possible. You had, you know, you had your five players, you had a six man, you had a coach, and you had a GM. So they're, oh, I mean, they were trying to make it like super realistic. And to me, I couldn't, I still can't quite fully grasp that, you know, this is still a video game. You know what
right.
I mean? It doesn't, there needs to be a step away from reality, I think.
I don't agree. And the reason I say that is because I think that's your best way to sell the product. Like, you want people to buy, like, Mavs Gaming. Like, mm-hmm. you want people to buy into, like, people will have an attachment to the Mavericks, the basketball franchise.
That's
or
fair.
The Rangers. And I think you want to put on that persona that we are a professional franchise. We're not gonna have as many fans as sports franchises do, but we want to present ourselves as a franchise so that you have fans and you can sell merchandise. I mean, look, at the end of the day, it's all about making money.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
That's what it's all about.
That's what it is. That's what everything's about.
And if you can make your gaming franchise into more of a bigger name, whether that's by, like you said, having a coach, to me, I think that's a little crazy, but it's also like, hey, these guys, you're practicing. I mean, you're not suiting up and going out on a practice court, but you're firing up the PS4 or you're firing up the PC and you're playing games. I mean, it takes that same level of professionality and time that you're putting into it. It's just a different avenue that you're going at it with.
No, exactly. And the other thing about it, it's still a business, right? So you have to, obviously, you have to attract sponsors. You have to attract an audience. You have to have somebody behind you fronting your organization. If you don't have that backing, you kind of falter into it and you might not succeed. And it's a tough avenue to look into.
And that's where the 2K League got it absolutely like spot on, is that the people backing these teams are the owner of the real teams
right.
exactly.
that they support.
Yes.
And so I think there's 21 teams in the league now. And I think they said by next season, by the third season, they want to have all 30 NBA teams represented.
I think it's kind of crazy that you wouldn't.
Because yes, absolutely.
It's more of a revenue stream, but it's also like getting your team out there.
Right.
Where I think there are people who don't care about the NBA, but if you play video games, you may be like, hey, I like the Mavs team, and that may be an avenue into the NBA
yeah,
or professional
no doubt.
Basketball.
No doubt.
So I think that's interesting. I just want to talk about like video games in general just a little bit, because I don't think we get enough of a chance to do that on this podcast regularly. But Apex really made an indent in the world of video games about a month ago.
It popped up overnight, man.
Absolutely overnight. They did no advertising for it. I believe they went on Friday and they were like, oh, hey, by the way, our new Battle Royale game is dropping as early as this week. And lo and behold, Apex is out that Tuesday.
I think we're also switching to... It's going to be interesting to see how video games are down, you know, 10 years down the line, where much like Fortnite, Apex is Respawn's attempt at their go at a battle royale.
Anthem,
is a free to play game.
Yeah.
Where it's, I wonder if that's the way we're moving, where you have some, and I believe World of Warcraft, I don't know if it still is, it was a subscription service.
Yes.
I don't know if it's still that way. But then you have your traditional games, where you've like, you know, you go to the store, you go to the Xbox store, and you pay $60. But then you have like Apex or Fortnite, where you can download the game for free, and if you feel like putting no money into the game,
you don't have to.
You absolutely don't have to.
And I think that's, like, I don't think you could go about the way Respawn did it with Apex, where you do no advertising and you just unload a game.
Oh,
you can't expect, like, here's our game, go to Walmart and pay $60 for it. But if it's a, hey, here's our game,
it's
a battle royale, it's free. You can download this and play this at no monetary value in 15 minutes.
And I don't know about you guys, I'm not good at all at Apex, but it's so fun to play with your friends.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I feel like it's almost it's either as fun or more fun than Fortnite to play with your friends, just because I feel like the games are more fast-paced and there's always action.
And plus, it's instead of 100 people, you're facing just 60
yeah,
people.
Yeah, exactly.
And
exactly.
It's squads of three. Open. Everybody gets a mic and or a text-to-voice
yeah.
or voice-to-text. If you can't hear or you don't want to hear chat, it's right there for you. Back to your point about you know, the game being free and you're not, you know, dropping $60 on a game.
Yeah.
That actually, I think it's, that incentivizes more people to pay and help
right.
help
yeah.
this game succeed.
Absolutely, because they want the game to have more perks in it.
Exactly. And so, as soon as you, you know, buy a little cosmetic thing here or there, you buy some whatever, like, not V-Bucks, but whatever they're using in
Apex coins.
Apex coins. Excuse me.
Very original.
Yeah,
Apex
coins.
They worked on that one.
They dug deep for that one. But you know, you spend $10 on Apex coins, you know once a month. For the 6 months, you already spent $60 on a full game, essentially, and they've already made their money back on development of that game.
The other way that I think is interesting, that's different about video games nowadays, the video games I played growing up, and I'm not a huge PvP guy. Like, I'm not big into that. It frustrates me too much. But, you know, you'd buy a game, you'd play it, for however long, you'd beat the game, then you're like, okay, now my options are, you know, you can go back and you can replay the campaign, or maybe you go in and you play against computers in some kind of mode or something.
Right.
Well, video games are so much different nowadays where, you know, the new game Anthem is an example, or Destiny 2, where they make the game to where you can, if that's the only game you want to play, you can do that. Where there's a there's an end game to where you can keep going to it. They put out new things every couple weeks. And it's just interesting to me how much video games have changed. Where it used to be, you'd buy this, you'd play through the campaign. You'd get maybe 8 hours out of it. And then you'd go buy another one. Whereas now they've realized, hey, we need to make a game that you can play year round. You can come back to every day and have something different to do. And kind of going off that is when you do something like that, that's how you start to buy more into this brand loyalty,
no doubt.
I think is where Fortnite and Apex have done very well, where it's like, you've given me something, and now I feel not like I have to pay $60 for a game, but it's kind of like, you know what? I don't feel bad at all by paying $20 to buy cosmetics.
Because you feel like you're supporting the actual
right.
company.
And that's where I think we're heading in video games, where it's no longer I'm going to buy this game, play through a linear campaign, and then I'm either going to keep it on my shelf or go back and sell it. I don't think video games will ever be made again like that. Video games nowadays are going to be you buy a game, and you have an expectation that you are going to be able to play this game. You're going to do the same things over and over, but with different expectations. Like in Destiny, you expect a different kind of loot, or you expect a different angle, or, you know, when you play Apex, you're never going to play a game and it's going to be the same.
Exactly.
I think in this era of video games, it sparks so much competitive competition, not between like the players,
yeah.
but between the people making the games themselves.
Yeah.
Like you saw, as soon as Apex came out, you know, they have that revolutionary pinging system
yes.
where you don't have to talk to your teammate. You can press right bumper and hey, an enemy's over there. 2 weeks later, Fortnite has a similar thing because
exactly.
they saw that it worked out. When Apex came out, Fortnite said, oh crap, we might be losing some of our customers. They made the Battle Pass free if you
yep.
completed challenges.
For Season 8, right?
Yes, for Season 8. So what this does is it makes the developers get ahead of the curve.
I will say that... Now, do you think... I haven't played Apex. I didn't play Fortnite.
I've asked you to play multiple times, and ditched me.
I have downloaded it. I haven't even turned on my Xbox in like 2 weeks,
Harrison Graham, who is on the other side of the glass at the moment, plays Apex with me a lot, and we always ask, where's Chris? And you're just not there.
I am not there. I'm hoping to get back on a little bit this week,
right,
see if I can fire up some Apex.
Sounds good.
But
well, I play on PC, so like, you can't blame me for that.
Elitist.
Ooh. Is there no crossplay in Apex?
No.
Not yet. There's not.
I assume that's something that's going to be coming.
Hopefully.
I would hope.
Okay, I just want to talk about that a little bit too. Just how crossplay, and you never would have thought of this like 10 years ago, where it's like, I'm on my Xbox,
mm-hmm.
and I want to be able to play with somebody who's on a PS4 or a PC, but nowadays I feel like it's expected, where you don't want to have your friend go buy a $400 console or spend a lot of money on a gaming PC. But I just want to kind of get your take on this, Kevin, that Sony is just standing in the way of like full-blown crossplay. But part of it, and one of the things that's just really annoying, is console exclusivity, and not just in games, or not just in like a Halo
right.
that's only on Xbox, or Spider-Man that's only on PS4, but games that are on both consoles, but there are certain things of the game that you can only get on PS4.
Like Call of Duty, like yes. Black Ops 4. I mean, the only game that I know of that has cross-play across all platforms, period, is Rocket League. Rocket League is on Switch, PS4, Xbox, PC. You can cross-play across all four of those.
I think yeah. you can on Fortnite, too.
And, can you go on Fortnite? I'm yeah, not sure
you
about
can,
it.
So Xbox and PS4 you can?
Yeah, Xbox yeah. and PS4 you can't. Or, you know what? I don't know if Xbox and PS4 you can, but I know you can play like Xbox to Switch, Xbox to PC. I'm just not sure if you can go Xbox to PS4.
That is, I think, the next big step yes. we're going to take in video gaming, where it's no matter what I do, no matter what console I have, I'm able to play with somebody. So, that's like, Kevin, if you have PC, I can play with you on my Xbox. And if Harrison has a PS4, I can still play with him on my Xbox.
That's obviously the dream, but what, I mean, you're going to have these huge companies that are going to be fighting, like Sony and Microsoft are going to have to come to some sort of agreement. And, you know, there's going to be billions of dollars yeah. involved whenever that happens. So, I don't think it's something that'll happen immediately,
right?
But it's a gradual, I think it'll take about 5 years.
It's a gradual thing, for sure.
I think that's the next big step we have to take. And I think it's Phil Spencer of Xbox has been open about wanting to do crossplay, and I think it's a lot is just resting on Sony, but Sony has a lot of the console exclusive games, the console exclusive parts of games that are on both platforms. Mm-hmm. So we'll see, you know, I think that's the next big step we're going to take in gaming. So Kevin, before we let you go here, I just want to talk a little bit about what are games that you play regularly?
Regularly, so I will say I've been playing Kingdom Hearts 3 a lot lately, and
okay.
I don't appreciate you bagging on the linearity of some games, but Kingdom Hearts is one of those linear games where I put 30 hours in, and I called it a day, and I put it back on the shelf, and I'm not touching it.
Just anymore. Never played it again.
Outside of that, I've been playing a lot of League of Legends lately, Apex Legends, obviously. I've only put six hours into it so far. I only have 3 kills, so no hardcore judging from Jeff.
2 hours per kill, I think.
That's right.
I think that can improve a little bit.
I'm trying to improve. I'm slowly improving. I'm trying to squat up a little bit more. Apex Legends. I've been playing a lot of Overwatch lately, too. Just trying to keep up with that. I've been watching a lot more of LCS and LEC, League of Legends stuff.
And you talk about that on your podcast. So what is that?
LCS is the American League Championship Series. LEC is the European counterpart to that, and there's like a bunch of other. There's LCK in Korea, LCL in Japan, China, and it's just these little other leagues. And eventually, at the end of the year, towards October, you'll see, you know, all the winners from these competitions. They'll meet up for Worlds, and that's pretty much the League of Legends World Championship.
And when is that?
That's I don't have an exact date, but it's in Vietnam, and it's. I want to say October 20th.
Okay,
or so
they're still building. They're still building up to that.
You going to Vietnam?
No. Goodness,
you're not going
no.
to cover that?
No. Maybe I'll go to like the spring split final in LA or something, which is like in we're in March.
I was going to say it can't be in February.
No, because we're already past.
Right.
Got to flip that calendar. I'm thinking towards May. I think it's in May. Yeah.
So, Kevin, I want to keep you around for the end of the podcast, but before we get to it, let's get to my interview with Alan Avila, and this was real interesting. He plays each MLS team, or at least the ones that compete. I don't know if you have full participant from all MLS teams. You have one guy who is your eMLS representative, and basically what that is, he plays FIFA, and he plays it for FC Dallas. So he's FC Dallas's FIFA, and they play in the eMLS. So it's basically like you're playing against other teams. So basically, you're not really Alan Avila going up against whoever. You basically have FC Dallas versus whoever, like the New England Revolution.
Hey, that's good. I didn't know if you can name another MLS team.
I can. Portland Timbers.
Okay.
Oh.
The Toronto Rapids. Is that one? The Toronto has a team.
They're not the Rapids.
Who is the Rapids then?
Colorado.
The Colorado Rapids?
Yeah.
So, yeah, hey, I know a little bit about MLS here, but it's really interesting. I'm not going to try to explain it all because Alan does a better job than me, but this was FC Dallas was hosting an EMLS tournament a couple weeks ago. And so basically he competed, he talks a little bit about that, he explains what the EMLS League is, and he was actually trying to become a professional soccer player. He played soccer at the University of Texas before he got hurt, and that's how he got into EMLS. So we're going to get into Alan's story. Let's play that interview right now. Tell me a little bit about EMLS and how it relates to MLS in a larger sense.
So the EMLS is essentially the Major League Soccer, but electronically, hence the E. And it's basically played on FIFA, EA Sports FIFA. And FIFA is a globally known video game, the soccer simulator. You could play it on any console, Xbox, PlayStation, you guys get the point. But it's a global, you know, fan base. And, you know, we play that. Every MLS team has their designated EMLS pro player. We get treated like the pros, you know, because we're experts at our craft, you know. And the fan base is behind us. We compete at the event. So, you know, it's a really awesome thing that we're involved in.
Okay, so how did you get involved? Just tell me your story leading you up from how you started as a kid in sports and in video games to where you ended up here.
So I've always played FIFA from a young age, soccer, football, whatever you want to call it. It has been like my favorite sport, like honestly like a love of mine. I played it ever since I was young on the Nintendo 64, which was a long time ago, with my cousins. Then I would play with my friends, my mates that I played soccer with. But it wasn't until FIFA 17 where it actually sparked up competitively. I did tear my ACL 3 times, and heading into FIFA 17, I was recovering from my third ACL injury. And then after that ACL injury, I started playing FIFA 17, and that's when FUT Champions came out. That's the competitive game mode. And ever since then, I qualified to every event on FIFA 17, FIFA 18, and then FIFA 18, heading into FIFA 19, that's when I got kind of scouted by Dallas. I guess some people were into the esports scene, the FIFA scene, and I was on the top 100 leaderboards. They probably asked, you know, who's good around Dallas, and then I got kind of scouted, came to Dallas. And honestly, I have a very interesting story with Dallas, because I used to play for the actual academy development program. Like I said, I tore my ACL, and then it's awesome to be representing them via a video game, FIFA, you know?
So you were part of the, is it the FC Dallas youth team? Is that what it is?
Yes, the development program here in the Classic League, the best, you know, league in Texas. I definitely, you know, had my time with the crest on and the real pitch. But unfortunately, you know, the ACL is definitely, you know, it felt like it shattered my dreams, because I had no idea about the FIFA scene. I had no idea what was to come. So it's very awesome to see, you know, how the EMLS has been developing. You know, I'm very excited about this.
And you played, just talk a little bit about your playing soccer in college.
So in college, I tore my ACL my freshman year. That was my last and final ACL tear. It was my freshman year during preseason. So it was a definite tragic time in my life, because I was just very upset, because it felt like something special was taken away from me. But that's when I actually, you know, started playing FIFA during my surgery, my recovery. And yeah, ever since then, you know, it's gone from there.
How'd you get into the esports scene?
So, like I said, FIFA 17 for Champions came out. That's literally the competitive game mode of FIFA. So all of the pros across the world, they play on that. It's very special. Even the non-pro players play. They're striving to become a pro. But yeah, that's how I've started playing competitively, FIFA 17 for Champions. But I've always been competitive by nature. So like in FIFA 16, I started playing for actual, you know, money on some side, stuff like that, to test my skill against the best and, you know, put a lot at line. And it has definitely taught me a lot, you know, going to tournaments, upset, stuff like that. So yeah, I would say that FIFA 16 and 17, that's where esports became a thing in my life.
Now, esports is really becoming a popular thing nowadays, and it's I think really starting to catch on. So for people who don't know what esports is and what EMLS is, just kind of give a description of esports and how the EMLS works, and as kind of like a sport on its own.
So yeah, like you said, esports has been growing tremendously, the electronic sports. So there's so many esports titles out there, from first-person shooters to, you know, objective games, Madden, FIFA, which is what I'm involved in. And, you know, it's just awesome because soccer, football is the world's, you know, most popular sport. So definitely there's something there with esports. You know, the numbers don't lie. The EMLS numbers have been doing amazing. And on stream, you know, thousands of people watch, which is incredible. It's like if a stadium is packed watching virtually. And even the in-person venue, it gets packed, you know, the support. So it's just essentially playing, it's soccer but virtually, and you know, there's a person controlling the virtual players. There's a lot of skill involved, definitely a mental game as well, so it's definitely a craft.
So here's how I understand that EMLS works. You pick your, so for you, you play as FC Dallas, and then you have to pick, is one player that's currently on the MLS roster, and you kind of get to pick everybody else from just the world of soccer, is that correct?
Yes. So the way it works for the squads in the MLS, there's restrictions to the teams. You have to have 3 MLS players at all times on the pitch, the field, and 2 of which have to be from your representing club. So everyone has a variety of selections, you know, and a lot of people use a similar third option, which is essentially, you know, Ibra, Rooney, those big stars. And of course, they're surrounded by elites, Ronaldo, Messi, Neymar, all of the best players you can think of, which is really awesome from a player standpoint, you know, a viewer standpoint, because they get to see this spectacle.
Explain to me what it's like going into a match for you. What are the nerves like? What are you feeling? Are you excited? Are you nervous?
It's a mixture of emotions, nerves. Definitely, I've gotten very, how do I say, used to it over the years I've been competing. Definitely, I was more nervous in my first event, but like I said, you learn from experiences and stuff like that. So now I really don't get that nervous, but definitely, you know, your heart starts pumping when you're, you know, down a game. If you score a goal, it's one of the best feelings. It literally feels like if you scored a goal in real life, which is how it just, you know, it's similar to actual sports, which is amazing to me. And so that, there's definitely a lot of emotions involved when playing games, and every pro player here expresses themselves differently, which is awesome to see, you know.
What's your relationship like with the other guys?
And for the most part, it's awesome because, you know, that we're all in the same environment. You know, we play in the EMLS, we're all competitors. Some of the players I'm really close with, you know, we're really good friends. We have been through a lot. Some players I really don't talk to as much as others. But for the most part, you know, I'm one of the guys that's pretty cool around everyone. You know, I make content as well. YouTube, Twitch, and stuff like that. So I see them there. But you know, you never know. There's some people in the league that don't really like each other, I guess you could say. So
like a rivalry.
Yes, there's a rivalry, of course. Yeah, for sure. And it goes from the past experiences, you know, from FIFA 17, 18. So yeah, definitely there's some rivalry in this esports.
So you said you do some streaming, Twitch?
Yes, I do Twitch and YouTube. I start off with YouTube and I make videos on there, and then I stream as well, Twitch.
So what are some recommendations you give for someone who's wanting to become like a content creator?
Oh, for sure. You have to do it because you enjoy it, because you love it, and you have to be consistent. Honestly, like being consistent is a very important step in growing, because, you know, your fans, the people who support you, they want to, you know, see what you're up to date with. And if you're not posting that much, they're probably going to lose interest, stuff like that. But definitely be consistent and love what you're doing.
So I like playing video games, but that's not my job. Your job is video games. So do you play video games on the side as well for enjoyment?
Oh, yeah, of course. You know, video games have been a huge part of my life. Like I said, they helped me through some tough times. I just don't only play FIFA, and I'm pretty sure all of the other pros can agree to this. Some people play, you know, shooters, Fortnite, so these are the big trend, you know, a lot of other games. But definitely, I'm not always on the system. Definitely hang out with my friends, you know, normal life, honestly. But yeah, I just happen to play FIFA and do work from my house, my room.
Let's do some fun stuff as we close out here. What are some of your favorite video games growing up? And no FIFA. No FIFA can be.
So I have always been a Call of Duty / FIFA guy. Every single time a FIFA comes out, they come out, you know, at the similar time, you know. So if it's not FIFA, Call of Duty has always been something I like enjoy playing. Fortnite has really been awesome. You know, the new game Apex Legends by EA is really, like, it's a fun game.
What are some things that people may not know about you, even people who may follow you throughout your career? What's something you want people to know that they may not?
I mean, I'm just a laid-back guy, I guess. Like, I like to get along with people. I, you know, empathize with people. I don't know if some people, you know, see me, how they see me, but definitely for the most part, you know, just a normal dude. Go through my own things in life, but definitely for the most part, really, really a laid-back, cool guy that could get along with people.
FIFA tips?
FIFA tips. There's go to my YouTube for that. In all seriousness, I do post on, you know, YouTube, Twitch. I always get, you know, asked, yo, Alan, what are some tips, stuff like that. But, you know, some tips, definitely practice. That's what makes, you know, you perfect, excellent in your craft, you know. Put it in into action, play against the best players in your games, stuff like that, and you'll definitely learn a lot from playing at a high level.
Where can people follow you? Throw that Twitter, the Twitch, the YouTube out there.
So Alan Avi, A-L-A-N-A-V-I, and should pop up in every social media. But on Twitter, I have that underscore still. We'll see if, you know, it gets taken away soon. But definitely just Alan Avi across all social media platforms.
Hey, Alan, appreciate it, man. Good luck.
Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it.
Well, there was Alan Avila. That was really cool.
Great interview.
I really enjoyed going out there and getting to do that. And I do want to correct myself. Didn't play at University of Texas. It was University of Texas Permian Basin. Basically, what happened, I read a little too quickly through his bio.
What's their mascot?
Don't know.
Me neither.
But I know one of their colors is orange. I can tell you that.
Yep, 100%. Can tell you that, too.
But we're going to close out the podcast here. And Kevin, before we get to the end, we're going to bring you in on this.
All right.
We're just going to kind of bring you in here blind. Just talk to us. Where can we find your podcast, and why should people listen?
I'm going to tell you why should people listen first. If you're into esports and you're into sporting in the local DFW area, you want to get into esports some more, you're interested in what it's about, listen to it. You know, most episodes aren't going to be longer than, you know, 15, 20 minutes or so. Feel free to listen. If you have any questions, of course, contact me on Twitter, at Correa24, at Correa24. And podcast you can find on KESN1033.com under the podcast tab, or you can find me on SoundCloud, or I'll post them. The Twitter accounts will post them. You know, they'll be all over the place.
Where can we find Timothy Zane?
Timothy Zane is stuck in a game of StarCraft 2 right now. He can't get out of it.
So explain. So I'll just give a little background on this. So I come into work one day, and I have a Yahoo email address. So I get on the computer and I go to log into my Yahoo.
You weren't using your Cumulus email?
Ooh. I was not using. Do not tell Kat.
I'm going to tell Kat.
But I was not using my Cumulus email. So I was logging into my Yahoo account, and I believe what happened was, you know how it's got the list of all the Yahoo accounts that had signed in before, and it said Timothy Zane.
That's impossible. You know why? It's a Gmail account.
Is it a Gmail account? Yeah. Okay, then I was logging into the station's Gmail account. That's what it was. I know I went to log into an email account. The station, we have an email account where we send all our audio.
Yes.
And so it would have had to have been that.
Yes.
And it was Timothy Zane. And
I was
so,
using it to transport audio from my Google Drive account into my email. I didn't know it would be like a primary account. It's supposed to be a temporary account, but I couldn't change my name on it. So
you
now
guys,
I'm stuck with it.
You guys don't understand this, but it is the funniest thing that has happened at this
station.
So
where did
the
name Timothy Zane come from?
I was like thinking of like a rock star name for like a temporary email address I would never use again in my whole life.
Timothy Zane.
Timothy Zane popped up in my head, and I was like, all right, he's probably Australian. It won't make a difference. I put that in. I set myself audio.
Oh, so Timothy Zane's a real person?
No, it's a fake person.
Oh, I thought, okay.
Timothy Zane is Kevin Correa's online persona.
That's unreal.
That's untrue. First of all, my online persona is also by my Twitter handle, Correa24, at, you know, Correa24. So that's my online name on, you know, Origin, Steam, PS4, whatever you want to look me up. Add me on all those accounts. But it's Timothy Zane has never been used and will never, ever be used again by me.
So the email is defunct.
It's defunct for now, yes.
For now, so it can be brought back.
I'm thinking, hey, who knows? We might see a Timothy Zane drop in once
in a while. Love it.
I think our our main goal for this podcast from here on out is to bring back Timothy Zane.
Absolutely.
Oh, we have to bring back Timothy Zane. Kevin, we thank you for joining us.
Yes.
We're gonna close
Thanks
out
for
the,
coming on, bro.
No, you, thank you, guys.
You threw out your Twitter. Give him a follow. Listen to the podcast. It's very interesting. You learn a lot about esports that you don't know. The plays, dude. These, I just have to say real quick, like, these esports play-by-play guys, they go absolutely bonkers.
They're over the top.
My favorite,
and it's hilarious.
My favorite YouTube video of all time is, I don't remember what his name is, but it was a Smash tournament, and he goes, Wombo combo, yep. That ain't Falco.
That ain't Falco.
That's the best YouTube video of all time.
It's these shoutcasters, play-by-play guys, they're amazing. They do so much work. I really want to get one of these guys on my podcast, and just hopefully, you know, in the future, we'll see.
I will say, I love the, and this is video game related, I love the Leroy Jenkins.
Oh, let's do this. Leroy! Unreal.
It's great. When you were thinking about YouTube, I said, that's probably the video I've watched most on YouTube.
Oh,
like,
100%.
Like in my life. But as we close things out here, we do it as we always do. This is the 24-second shot clock. And Kevin, we're going to make you do this.
Oh, boy.
So you better pay attention.
All right, here
Here's how it works. You have 24 seconds to talk about whatever you want. It doesn't have to be sports related. Here on this podcast, it doesn't have to be video game related. But you have 24 seconds. And when that shot clock goes off, you hear the buzzer, you got to stop talking, and we'll go to the next person. So I'm going to go here first. I've just got to talk about, like, being an adult is terrible, especially when you have car troubles. I was having car issues like this past week. I had to go to multiple shops. I had to get my car towed. I couldn't keep cooling in my car. And then so on top of all this stress of I don't have a car, I'm worried about my car. And then by the time they call you and you get it fixed, it's like, oh yeah, that's going to be like $500.
Love it.
And it's not $500 for a part. It's like all labor costs. I just have to say, like, having a car is nice, but it's terrible. It's absolutely the worst.
100% agree. I got a hubcap stolen from me the other day. So,
like, off your tire?
Yeah. So I have three hubcaps and one that just doesn't have a hubcap on it at the moment.
People steal hubcaps?
Yeah. That's insane.
Apparently.
I'm so sorry. You had to undergo that.
I didn't hit a curb or anything, so yeah.
That's ridiculous. Jeffrey, I feel so sorry. Let's go to you for your 24 seconds. It begins now.
So I had this genius idea I'm going to get super rich off of, and it is this streaming website where you can buy a package, say 15 to 20 a month, that has every single major sports channel on planet Earth on it. You have ESPN, you have Fox, you have NBC, you have CBS,
yeah.
You have Sky Sports in Europe, you have all of the South African channels, where you can find cricket, any sport in the world, you can watch it.
That's genius.
So the internet?
Yes, but all on one site, so you don't have to have like a TV subscription for it. You can pay however much you want and get every single sports channel.
Interesting.
That's a good idea. I don't think you should have just opened this up to the world like that, though.
Yeah, it's kind of dangerous.
I kind of feel like somebody's going to steal your idea.
I have it patented.
Okay. Well, look for it. I believe, is that going to be JeffreyCooperstein.com that's going to sell those packages?
No, I'm going to come up with Timothy Zane's alter ego
and
figure it out.
Come up again. Oh, you guys can't leave it alone.
The Timothy Zane Company presents your presents your website. All right, Kevin, we're going to come to you for your 24 seconds. It begins now.
All right, so people talking about Kingdom Hearts 3, how it sucks. I disagree. I think it's one of my favorite games so far of the year. Obviously, they have their disagreements. I just think it wasn't, you know, amazing. It wasn't great, but it was good enough for me, and that's all that should matter. I love Mickey Mouse. I love Goofy. I love, you know, the Final Fantasy characters that we don't get to see in this game because for whatever reason they dropped them out. And then it's a good game. It's a great game, all right? So don't hate it too much.
Why, just like real quick,
yeah,
in like 10 seconds, why is the game so good? Why is it fun?
Oh, what's it called? Hack
the mechanics?
And slash. Yeah, it's just hack and slash. I turn into different forms. I go off on keyblades for whatever reason. I don't even know. It's just fun.
Is this game like Disney Infinity?
No.
It's not like that?
Think of like Final Fantasy with
but you
Disney
have
elements.
Like Disney characters.
Yeah.
It's very weird.
It is. Strangely, it works. I don't know why.
Well, I'm glad you like it. That's not my cup of tea, as we stated here during this podcast. Jeffrey, we've done our podcast, and we're gonna send it out. We're gonna retweet it. You can leave ratings and reviews, which
Please
I highly
do.
Recommend. You can head over to Apple Podcasts to do that. But that only does so much to help us out. How else do we get the word out about the podcast?
Well, Chris, you have to tell your friends. Kevin, you also have to tell your friends.
I will tweet this out.
Tell your aunts, your uncles, your cousins. Any other person you might come in contact with, tell them. But Kevin, do you know who the most important person to tell about this podcast is?
Myself?
No. I'll give you one more guess.
Oh, is it your dad?
No.
Well, that's a good one.
But that is a good one.
Kevin, this doesn't apply to you, but for those of you out there who have one of these, you have to tell the ex-wife. That's the most important person to tell about the podcast.
Single most important person you need to tell.
All right, I'll get right on that.
All right,
and
cool.
You know what? That's probably how to spread the word about your podcast as well. Get it out there into the ex-wives community.
I'll talk to my ex-wife.
That's where you want to lay it out there. This is Can I Get a Podcast? As always, you can find us online, KESN1033.com/podcasts. And you scroll down a little bit right there, Can I Get a Podcast? You just click on the picture or check us out on Apple Podcasts. Also, check out the free-to-play podcast. It's right below Can I Get a Podcast on the KESN1033 website, so I highly recommend doing that. Kevin, thank you for stopping by, man.
Thank you for inviting me, guys.
Yeah, Jeffrey and I will be back next week. Until then, have a good one.
Okay, thanks.